In the early days of the church, God called men to do special tasks. Among them were the apostles. The word apostle means one sent with a commission. You know, brothers and sisters, in our own day, God is still calling men and women to be witness for him. He's calling men and women to be witnesses in the mission field. He's calling men to the ministry. But you know, sisters and brethren, he may not be calling you, sister, to the mission field, or you, brother, to the mission field, or you, brother, to the ministry. But he's still calling you and me to be witnesses for him. We are called to be witnesses among our community for the Savior. We're called to be witnesses for him to our family. We're called to be witnesses among our workmates. We're called to be witnesses for him in our church, in our colleges, in our schools, and just wherever you, child of God, are, you're called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. What does the word witness mean? Well, I looked up the dictionary and it says, one who bears testament to an event, or one who gives evidence. But you know, the scriptures has much to say about the word witness. We are told in 1 John 1, 5 and 6, we are told that the Holy Spirit bears witness. We are told that Christ in Romans is called the faithful witness. And the prophets of God in the Old Testament are called a cloud of witness, or faithfulness to the mercy of God. You know, the apostles in Luke 24, when we read it, they were told, ye are witnesses of these things. You know, the dictionary says, one who bears witness to an event. This morning, very briefly and very quickly, I want to see who could be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to notice, and each one of these starts with the letter C, so they're very easy to remember. First of all, you need to be a converted person. To be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be a converted person. Anyone who is not converted cannot be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, Satan has many false witnesses in the world. God has his true witnesses, but the devil has his false. Everything that God has true, the devil has false. For example, God has the true word of God. The devil has many perversions of the Bible. I lifted this little tract the other day, and it says, all modern perversions of the Holy Scripture are but a part of this continuing campaign of restless malice and unsparing assaults on the word of God. This satanic campaign can only be effectively resisted by the true people of God in the English-speaking world, using and defending one of God's greatest gifts to them, the authorized version of Holy Scripture, the King James Version, in their mother tongue. And know how true that is. Everything that God has, the devil has counterfeit. You know, the Bible describes Satan as the great deceiver. You know, he has attacked the work of God down through the years. He has attacked the people of God down through the years. You know, Satan, the word Satan in Hebrew means adversary. And yes, he is an adversary to the people of God. Devil in the Greek means slander. And yes, he is a slanderer against the people of God. My friend, if you want to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be a converted person. There were two senior citizens sitting one day at their fire. And the lady was looking into the fire. And her husband said, dear, you're deep in thought. And she says, yes. She says, now I'm now in my 80s. And she says, the last time I was in church was when we were married many years ago. But she says, I remember in Sunday school my teacher telling me that if I ever wanted to get into heaven, I needed to get saved. And she said, you know, I've forgotten all about it. I don't know how to get saved. The husband looked at her and says, dear, you're 80. I'm 85. I'm a bit closer to death. And he says, you know, I've been thinking of the same thing. And as you know, the two of us went to the same Sunday school. And he says, I've been thinking about the same thing. But he says, I don't know how to get saved. It was a Saturday evening, and both of them said, well, sure, we'll go round to the big church, round the corner on Sunday morning, and we're bound to hear something there. Both those senior citizens got ready on the Lord's Day morning, went into the church, and they came out of the church, and one looked at the other and said, I never heard anything. They were so discouraged, so disheartened. The man then just realized that there was a gospel mission hall away on up the road. And he said, dear, sure, we'll go there tonight and see what we could hear. They went to that little mission hall that night. And to cut a long story short, the preacher there had the joy of leading those two seeking senior citizens to the Savior. My friend, why did they not hear the gospel in the first church? Why did they have to go to another church? Oh, the reason for it was the minister in that first church knew nothing of the new birth. He knew nothing of sins forgiven. He knew nothing of coming to Christ as his own and personal Savior. He was a false messenger. He was not a true witness for the Lord. It was just a job to him. He was a minister in name only. He was a false witness. But what a difference when they went up the road to the wee mission hall. There, the preacher knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that he paid the price for sin on the cross, and that if we confess our sin, he is able to forgive sin and to cleanse us in the precious blood of the Lamb. My friend, this morning, if you're not a converted person, you cannot be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at Saul of Tarsus in the Bible, no one could ever see him being a witness for the Lord. We read in Acts 9, he went to the priests and he asked for letters that he could go. He wasn't happy just going to Jerusalem and persecuting the church. He wanted to go to Damascus, and he said, give me the letters that I can go and bring women and children and people bound back to Jerusalem. On that road to Damascus, the Lord dealt with him. And you know the story, how he fell off the horse, and as he landed on the ground, a voice came, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And on that road, Saul the persecutor became a child of God. You know, Ananias, the Lord came to Ananias and he said, Ananias, I want you to go and meet a man called Saul of Tarsus. And I can just imagine Ananias. The Bible actually tells us, if you read in Acts 9, he said, Lord, Saul of Tarsus, he's the man that's persecuting the church, and you want me to go and meet him? You want me to deal with this man? But you know, the Lord said in Acts, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You know, child of God, you're sitting here in this church this morning, saved, because God spoke to this man. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles. A man who persecuted the church. A man who hated the things of God. A man who could do everything against the church of God. But what happened? He became a child of God. What a change. A man who witnessed against the church became a witness for the church. Could I say to you this morning, if you're in this meeting without Christ, you can't be a true witness for the Lord Jesus. You need that new birth. You need the new birth that the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man that knew everything about the Jewish religion, but he knew there was something missing in his life. And he came to the Savior by night. And the Lord said to him immediately, except a man be born again, listen, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friend, if you're not born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Of course, Nicodemus, like all people, said, well, am I born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time? But the Lord said to him, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, I'm not talking about the physical birth, Nicodemus. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. Ye must be born again. And man and woman and boy and girl in this meeting this morning, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if you don't repent of your sin, my friend, you'll not be in heaven. It's not Tommy Gilmore saying that this morning. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, do you want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus? You need to be a converted person. You need to know your sins forgiven. You need to be washed in that precious blood. Then you'll be a true witness for the Lord Jesus. But you know, secondly this morning, you need to be a concerned person. To be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be a concerned person. Are you a concerned person? Have you got a love for the souls of men and women? Brothers and sisters, can I challenge you this morning as I challenge my own self? Have you prayed for your loved ones? Your loved ones who are not saved. Have you prayed for them this morning? Have you a concern for them? You know, they are another Lord's Day closer to a Christless eternity. Have you prayed for men and women who attend this church who are not saved? Oh, my friend, you need to have a concern for the unsaved if you're going to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people would say to me, Tommy, it's all right for you. When I come to witness some people, I don't know what to say. You know, my friend, you have the greatest weapon that anybody can use to witness to a man and woman who doesn't know Christ. You have your own testimony. Our personal testimony is one of the most powerful tools that can be used in soul winning. How we came to know Christ and what our life was before that we came to know the Lord Jesus. Your own personal testimony is a wonderful witness. And you know, we need to witness. We need to have a concern for our family. We need to have a concern for our friends. We need to have a concern for our neighbors, our workmates, our schoolmates. We need to have a concern for the ungodly. You know, there was a preacher in a church, and for many years he never saw souls being saved in his church. He went to bed one night and he fell into a deep sleep. And as he was sleeping, he looked and he saw this broad road. And as he looked on along that broad road in his sleep, he saw the little boy that brought the paper to his house. He saw the window cleaner who came to clean the windows. He saw the man at the petrol station where he filled up his car. He saw the man and the ladies in the shop where his wife got the groceries. He saw his friends on this broad road. And all of a sudden he saw this sign saying, you're getting close to the edge. What road was he looking at? He was looking at the road to hell. And you know, he woke up very suddenly from his sleep. Why? Because the ones who were closest to the edge were his own family. He saw his own family. And he got down at his bedside and he said, God, forgive me. I haven't had a concern for these people. These people were members of his congregation. And he never prayed for them. He never prayed for their souls. He never thought about them. But there was a change in the minister that Sunday morning when he got into the pulpit. And you know, my friend, down through the years, that man had the joy of seeing those people come to the Savior. Why? because he had a concern for their souls. As I was preparing this message, it just came to my mind about a little maid. And you know the story about Naaman, the great general. And that general went into a country and he saw this little maid. She might have been going to get water for her parents. But the Bible tells us that he took her down into Syria and he brought her into his own house to be a maid unto his wife. And you know the story how this man, who was a leper, and when you think this young girl would have said, serves him right. Oh, it serves him right that he has this leprosy. But you know, she had a concern for this man. He must have been good to her. He had a concern. She could have said, look, he took me away from my family. He took me away from my friends. It serves him right. But she said, you know, if he goes to God's servant, and you know the story, how he went down and he dipped down into the River Jordan and he was made whole. My friend, she had a concern for him. I lifted a little book and it said this, and it really spoke to me. We need to realize that men and women without Christ are lost and going to hell. And this really hit me. A real hell. A Christless life ends in a Christless eternity. A Christless life ends in a Christless eternity. Let that grip your soul today, child of God. Your loved ones are going to a Christless hell and end in a Christless eternity. Oh, have you a concern for them? Oh, I said this morning as I read over this, Lord, forgive me for not having a concern for my loved ones. Forgive me for not having a concern for my friends. Burn into my heart what it is for a soul to be lost in a Christless eternity. Child of God, if you're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, you need to have that concern. You know, it is encouraging to know that no one is so lost, so hell-bound, so blinded by sin that Christ cannot save them. Someone has said, because I know Christ, I owe the Christian message to others. I am indebted because someone told me. And you know, I am so indebted for a faithful Sunday school teacher who had a concern for his boys in his Sunday school class. And it was through that dear saint of God that I came to know the Saviour. Maybe, child of God, you're a Sunday school teacher. Pray on for your Sunday school class. Have that concern for them, and God will answer your prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus in Luke 19 and 10 says, he came to seek and to save those which were lost. You know, to be a good witness, you need to be a converted person. To be a good witness, you need to be a concerned person. But you know, thirdly, to be a good witness for the Lord, you need to be a consecrated person. You know, Paul exhorts every child of God in Romans 12 and 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I remember the late Dr. Paisley used to say to me, Tommy, every morning when I wake up, I say, Lord, this bed is an altar. Take this body a living sacrifice. Point me to some soul today that I can witness to them. My friend, that's a good thing to do. Lord, this bed is an altar. Take this body a living sacrifice. Point me to some soul today that I can witness to them. You know, as a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So yield your life to him for the infilling. You know, the apostles could not have possibly done the work for the Lord unless they were endued with power from on high. We are not sent in our own, out in our own to witness. Christ tells his apostles could never have planted the gospel as they did if they had not been endued with power from above, a supernatural power, a power above their own. We read in Luke 24 and 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high." You know, child of God, we need to pray for God's help to be faithful witnesses for him. We need to be a faithful witness, and we need to be a consecrated person. There was a young American soldier, and he was making his way home. He had just left the army. He was a Christian. He was a Christian soldier. And as he was walking along the road, he just lived outside Chicago. He was thumbing a lift, and he saw this big Cadillac coming along, and he says, "I'm sure this man will not pick me up, but," he says, "I'll try anyhow." And he thumbed the lift. And to his amazement, the Cadillac pulled in. He got into the car, and they started to talk, and the gentleman said, "I'm a businessman from Chicago. Where do you live?" And he says, "I live in a little town just outside Chicago." And the businessman said, "I can give you a lift, no problem." They talked and they talked. But you know, the Spirit of God started to work in that young soldier. And they said, "Witness to this man." And you know, something else said to him, "If I witness to him, he'll stop the car and throw me out." But you know, the Holy Spirit said, "You witness to this man." And as they were driving along, the soldier said, "You know, sir," he says, "not only am I a soldier," he says, "but I know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Do you?" The man put the indicator and pulled into the side. And the soldier said, "Oh no, this is me getting through out." But to his surprise, the man broke down in tears and he says, "No, I don't. But I'd love to." And that young soldier had the joy of pointing that man, that businessman, to the Savior. He had a concern for his soul. But you know, the businessman gave him a card and he said, "I want you to take that card. And if you're ever in Chicago, come and see me." Many, many years later, the young soldier was going into Chicago and he was looking through his wallet and the card fell out. I says, "I must go and have a word with this man." He went to this building. It was a massive building. He walked into the reception desk and he said, "Can I speak to Mr. So-and-so?" The reception says, "No, you can't, but you can speak to his wife." So he's shown into the wife, and the wife said, "How do you know my husband?" And he told his story. And all of a sudden, the wife started to sob. And the young man says, "I'm terrible sorry. I hope I haven't offended you." And she says, "You have not offended me." She says, "I'm a Christian." And she says, "I've prayed for years for my husband." And she says, "All this time I thought that God hadn't answered my prayer." And he says, "I want to tell you something. My husband dropped you off in your little village. But about 10 minutes down the road, he was involved in a terrible accident and he lost his life." And she said, "All this time I thought God hadn't answered my prayers. I thought that my husband was lost." But she says, "These are tears of joy, because I know that the concern I had for him, that God answered prayer." My friend, have you that concern? Have you that concern in your life for your loved ones? But you know, last of all, fourthly, child of God, are you a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus? We read in Revelations 1 and 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." Observe the particular account we have here of Christ. He is the faithful witness. He was from eternity a faithful witness to all the counsels of God. And you know, the man that we were talking about this morning, Paul, we read in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Child of God, this morning, can it be said of you that you have kept the faith? That you are a faithful witness? He or she are a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a joy it'll be when we get to heaven and we see the Lord Jesus face to face. And he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, today, this morning, if we want to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be a converted person. If we want to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be a concerned person. If we want to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be a consecrated person. My friend, this morning, if you're in a meeting without Christ, to be a good, faithful witness for the Lord Jesus, you need to come and trust the Lord as your Savior. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood. And then you can be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell folks how you came to know the Savior, how you had your sins washed in the blood and cleansed